The latest Disney-produced drama is playing itself out in Philadelphia today. Michael Eisner, the chief executive officer of Disney, is fighting to keep his job at a shareholders meeting. And joining us now is NPR correspondent Kim Masters. She covers the business of entertainment, and she's following this story in Philadelphia. Kim, thanks very much for being with us once again.
My pleasure.
And as we understand it, of course, Mr. Eisner is running unopposed for re-election, but the thought was if the dissidents could convince as many as a third or so that of the stockholders to withhold their votes from him, that ought to be a real shot across his bow. So what happened today?
Well, today the vote appears to have gone, it's a preliminary number, over 40%. The early numbers suggest that 43% of the shareholders have voted against Michael Eisner's re-election to the board, which, of course, is not enough to oust him from the company as he's running unopposed, but is a very loud shot across the bow.
So what is this going to mean? I mean, he was re-elected, but clearly he and his board has to be thinking things through.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that there was some attempt in the early going here to spin it that this isn't really a referendum on Michael Eisner. It's a referendum on having Michael Eisner as both chairman and chief executive. And I think there was some speculation that they would split, make Senator George Mitchell, the retired senator, the chairman of the company. But he also got a rather substantial no vote. Oh, I think it's in excess of 20% based on these early numbers. That looks like an idea that's a non-starter. Based on, you know, as this ended, a shareholder, there was a question and answer session, a shareholder stood up and called on Michael Eisner to do the right thing and resign, and he talked about how this guy talked about how many generations of his family had worked for Disney and their strong connection to the family, and Michael Eisner replied, I am also a shareholder, as are my children, my sister, my cousins, and I think doing the right thing is presenting to you the kind of management that we have presented today. So he clearly is not giving an inch.
Well, he's been at Disney now for 20 years. Why is he losing support now?
Well, this has been building for quite a long time. The most recent, you know, the company's been in a bit of a decline since 1994. The stock has sort of started to fall off. It picked up a little recently, but the question is that sort of a one-off, as Roy Disney, who is, you know, the dissident board, ex-board member now, said.
And Walt Disney's nephew.
Walt Disney, and I have to tell you, Roy Disney is Walt's nephew. He was for many years kind of dismissed as the idiot nephew, but he has a name and a face that is so much like Walt Disney's. And when at this meeting today, you felt the power of that image. These people, these shareholders, stood and cheered for Roy Disney when he went on the stage. He has been pushed off the board. He got a chance to say goodbye. And Michael Eisner had to stand there and watch as these people stood up and gave Roy Disney a protracted standing ovation. And these people are Roy's people, and they have come to this is the first step part of the answer to your question, what has changed? When they pushed Roy Disney off of this board in November, I don't think they quite realized the potency of that image of Roy Disney that with the name and the face. And the next thing that happened, of course, was that the relationship with Pixar, which is the powerhouse in animation that made most recently Finding Nemo, but just an amazing string of very valuable hits for Disney, that relationship was terminated by the head of Pixar, Steven Jobs, after Roy Disney left the board. And what you saw is the ground sort of starting to soften, and the third blow was an unsolicited offer from Comcast, which I can tell you was very unpopular with the shareholders here today, but highlights the sense that Disney is vulnerable and struggling and that there could be weakness at this company that might lead to be taken over.
Interestingly, Comcast, as you mentioned, the cable giant, based in Philadelphia right there.
I think if they had known, they would not have planned the annual meeting here.
Now, as you get back to this situation, the other factor that has been a big loser, well, maybe not a big loser for Mr. Eisner, has been the acquisition of the ABC television network, which has dropped into fourth place among the big four, and the latest ratings show it's still in fourth place.
It's been a problem for years. It's kind of an embarrassment because Michael Eisner started his early career at ABC and was kind of has taken a lot of credit for shows like Happy Days, which were such big hits, and had said very publicly when they acquired it that he really knew how to run this and he could really do this. And it's been a problem ever since. And, you know, the one bright spot they had was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and that turned into a problem when they programmed it four nights a week on the network. And then, of course, it was a fad, and when it tanked, the Disney cupboard was bare. They really didn't have a hit to put into prime time. And, you know, that kind of thing is something that takes years to rebuild, and they've been promising to rebuild it for years. And they bravely stood up there today and tried to convince everybody that they have turned the corner and are going to turn the corner even more. I can't imagine that any of the shareholders were particularly impressed by that argument.
Well, Regis was recently back with Who Wants to Be a 10 Millionaire. That did pretty well, but not going to be the savior that ABC has been looking for.
Friends, or what Roseanne was back in the day, or Home Improvement. It's not that kind of hit.
Have the dissidents, Roy Disney, Stanley Gold, have they emerged to say where they take the campaign next?
They have. They probably are doing that as we speak. They did speak earlier at the meeting. They were very clear and unequivocal that this is about Michael Eisner being ejected from the company. Stanley Gold said, no half measures, no excuses, no amount of spinning will be tolerated. Michael Eisner must leave now. The audience, the several thousand, burst into cheers. I mean, I can't imagine what this day was like for Michael Eisner, who I point out was so hoarse that he could really have trouble making, he sounded like Bill Clinton in his roughest campaign days. But I think what they're going to say is that clearly this is a mandate for change, and that if the board ignores this, they will do so at their peril.
And the board, has there been any, I guess they're still in the meeting. They've not had a chance
to. No, the meeting broke. We are told that the board may be meeting this evening. As any reporter who covers this beat will tell you, Disney has not been hugely forthcoming with the press in recent times. And so we're just going to have to stand by to see whether they, come out with this. They've been staying very on message so far, which is we have an undisputed record of building shareholder value. And, you can see what seems to be a 43% no vote that there are those who have a dispute with that record.
Well, all of this very public evisceration of its CEO can't be good for, among other things, the stock price.
Well, I think that's a concern. I mean, one thing, there were a lot of, like, mom-and-pop type of shareholders here. Disney has about 35% of its stock just in the hands of regular people who, I mean, many people got up at the meeting today and said, I own 3 shares, I own 8 shares. These people are very emotional about the company.
I think we actually have a shareholder on the line. Joining with us is Kristen, who's from Fremont, California.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I'm a shareholder, and I'm a longtime Disney fan, a huge fanatic, and I'm so disappointed in what Eisner has done in the last 10 years. I think the first 10 years that he was with the company, I mean, he saved that company. He was brought on by Roy Disney. He did wonderful things and turned the company around. But in the last 10 years, he has just forgotten the heart of Disney, the telling of a story. The parks have just diminished radically in their quality, and the films have become just stock, television and
did you cast your vote, I assume, by absentee ballot?
I actually phoned it in, yeah.
Uh-huh. So, and I assume you, from what you're saying, you voted against Mr. Eisner.
I did, definitely.
Okay. Well, Kim Masters, that sentimental attachment, as you mentioned earlier, to the Disney name and the long record of Disney products, and including the movies and the theme parks, that plays an enormous part in all of this.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk today on the part of these shareholders who stood up and said, I don't like the way the theme parks are being run anymore. One guy stood up and said, I can't even afford to take my family. And you can't really overstate the devotion that these people have. These people are, some of them got married at Disneyland and have, go there hundreds of times. And I think that I really felt that the institutions would be, put off by the Pixar situation. But even I didn't quite get the degree to which these individuals would rise up and make themselves heard on Roy Disney's behalf.
Kristen, thanks very much for the phone call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Kim Masters, we appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you.
Kim Masters, an NPR correspondent who covers the business of entertainment. She joined us on the phone from Philadelphia, and we'll have more on the Disney story later today on All Things Considered. Here are some more of today's NPR News headlines. A day after he effectively won the right to challenge President Bush for the White House, Democrat John Kerry is moving quickly to find a running mate. He's named Washington businessman Jim Johnson to head the selection process. And Haitian rebel leader Guy Philippe says his forces will lay down their arms and stop patrolling the streets of the capital. capital, Port-au-Prince. And we'll have details on those stories from NPR's David Wellner in Washington and Jerry Haddon in Haiti on All Things Considered. Right now, you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.